Amen. I hope you're energized after that. I almost forgot about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Sorry. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. The only announcement that I have right now is that there is a deacon's meeting directly after worship. So if you're a deacon, please plan to stay. Does anyone else have it? Are there any other announcements that I should be aware of? Looks good. All right. Well then, friends, let us gather and proclaim our readiness to worship God. I will bless the Lord at all times. God's praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let us humble here and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt God's name together. Let us rise as we're able and join in our opening hymn, number 829. Join me now in our prayer of confession. You know us better than we know ourselves. You see our need when we are blind to it. In your compassion, forgive us for our lack of faith and not seeking your wisdom. Forgive us for failing to listen to what is most nourishing, even for ourselves. Let our faults fall from your eyes as you open ours. Hear this and answer. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. People of God, the Lord hears, forgives, and saves. Therefore, be reconciled to one another and walk humbly before God in the name of the Holy Trinity. Amen. Thank you. Let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings and friends, let us greet one another with signs of peace. All right. Let us now be seated for our choir's anthem. Friends, let us lift up our prayers of concern and joy. O God, we come to you because we know you'll hear our cry. We come to you because we know you see us. We come to you because you deliver and save. We pray for Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian and the Universal Church. Guide our leaders as they discern and give us the humility to walk in your way. We pray for the leaders in our nation and the nations around the world. Give them courage to walk in peace. We pray for all of those who are in need and those who are in pain, especially Sandy Salmon as she prepares for her eye surgery tomorrow. Kathy Segi's sister Patty for guidance, and Kathy Segi for pain and healing. Heal, touch, and deliver them, O God. We give joyful thanks for the answered prayers you provide, especially for my brother Matthew's new job with the TSA. Show us how to always know your gifts and shape them into the benefits for the common good. Give us our daily bread, what we truly need each day. Make us satisfied with the essentials of life, that as we live in gratitude, your gifts may increase our awareness of the needs of others. Receive our hopes and pleadings, for great is your faithfulness. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise as you're able and join us in singing the hymn of praise, the hymn of meditation. Open my eyes. Please be seated. It is in joyful thanksgiving for all that we have been given that we now return to God our tithes and offerings. God, bless our offerings with the healing that comes from your work and our hands. We give with joy and thanks for what we have in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's reading comes from Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. May the Lord bless the reading of the word.
Let us pray. Dear God, let us not only hear of you, but see you with our own eyes through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's see how else I can mess up worship today. So, our scripture for today is the last story of healing in the Gospel of Mark. And it's in this section that Mark seems to be trying to be telling us something about sight and blindness. There's this theme of sight that runs through like the end of chapter 8 to the end of chapter 10. And it begins with Jesus healing the blind man at Bethsaida. Now that restoration took like two tries. You know, Jesus spit and the man said, there's like trees walking around. And then Jesus tried again and it worked and the man eventually sees. And then in chapters 9 and 10, Mark is addressing more of like the spiritual blindness of the disciples. So even though Jesus has been teaching them this whole time, they're either unable or maybe unwilling to understand Jesus's upcoming passion. But in today's passage, Jesus sort of combines those two things, and he confronts both the physical blindness of Bartimaeus and the spiritual blindness of his followers. We might remember, this is just for a little context here, that Jesus and the disciples are heading to Jerusalem. They're not the only ones. This is close to the Passover, and faithful Jews from all over the place are pilgriming to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. They're, you know, to commemorate the Exodus out of Egypt. And so, after a bit of traveling, Jesus and the disciples find themselves in Jericho. That's about 15 miles northeast of Jerusalem, so they're still heading down. Now, Bartimaeus is introduced here, but we don't know a lot about him other than he's blind. We don't know if he was blind from birth or if he acquired blindness later on in life. I don't know that it really matters all that much, but I will say that at that time there wasn't an Americans with Disabilities Act or equal opportunity employment in first century Jericho. So Bartimaeus couldn't work, you know, a regular trade, and so he made his living by begging for alms. It's a lot like people holding up signs on the side of the road or at the exit ramps today. Bartimaeus knew that the more people that were around, the better his chances were of collecting any alms. So he strategically placed himself on the side of the road of the pilgrimage path. But he senses something different. And he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Bartimaeus has definitely heard of this Jesus guy, and he calls out to him, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus is just making this huge ruckus, and the others try to quiet him down. They're like, you know what, just be quiet, like we're just trying to do something here. I guess I can kind of see both sides of this. Like, on the one hand, I've always really appreciated when I've had a secretary or an assistant who could, like, field my phone calls. There are really only so many times that I'm willing to deal with the people who are trying to reach me about my auto's extended warranty. On the other hand, this is Jesus. Jesus' whole purpose is to be with God's people and to heal them. And it seems really callous to deny Jesus to someone who is seeking to be restored. You see, Jesus is surrounded by people who want to be among Jesus' inner circle. But once they've found themselves in that inner circle, they kind of find ways to keep other people out. And despite that, if you remember from last week, Jesus just finished telling the disciples how the first must become last. A lot of people following Jesus still haven't really learned that you're supposed to bring people to him instead of sending people away from him. I've seen this play out in contemporary times too, but that's a sermon for another Sunday. No matter, because the people shushing Bartimaeus just made him shout even louder, Son of David, have mercy on me! At this, Jesus stops. I picture Jesus taking just a little moment, maybe a step back, and just delighting in the fact that this man, this blind man, truly sees him, sees Jesus in a way that the other followers haven't quite understood yet. So Jesus tells those same people who scolded Bartimaeus for making a commotion to bring him forward. Oh, now the people reassure the blind beggar. Cheer up! Get on your feet! He's calling you! As if Bartimaeus was the one who needed encouragement. Bartimaeus jumps up. He throws his cloak behind him. This cloak thing is actually pretty important. It isn't just any old jacket. This cloak is the man's covering for warmth and his security, as well as the means of collecting alms. It's his livelihood. It's what he knows. By casting aside his cloak, he's ridding himself of what is most familiar to him, his identity. And he's anticipating leaving everything he knows behind because something better is coming. Then Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" Do you remember at all from last week that Jesus asked James and John the exact same question? And maybe it wasn't quite as clear what James and John wanted from Jesus, but isn't it kind of obvious what Bartimaeus wants? He's a blind beggar, for heaven's sake. Give him his sight, toss him a few coins, and call it a day. This is something that I find myself guilty of, and a lot of Christian missions can be guilty of, too. We assume we know what people and communities need and want. I mean, it's what I would want, right? Maybe you've noticed like a single mom that lives down the street who's struggling. So you give her some groceries. And that might be helpful. But what she's really longing for is someone to help her rewrite her resume so she can land a better job. Or someone to watch her children for the hour between the time they get off of school and she gets home from work. Or maybe she just wants to feel accepted and understood. We have really good intentions, but we don't really know until we ask. Jesus does understand that it's important to give people agency in their healing. So he asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" Maybe Bartimaeus is doing just fine without physical sight. Or maybe he has a more pressing matter. Regardless, Jesus recognizes that Bartimaeus, just like you and I, are complex, whole people. Bartimaeus is so, even so, without sight. He's one who likely has many needs, many longings, many desires. And Bartimaeus replies, "Rabbi, teacher, I want to see." "Go, your faith has healed you." And then Bartimaeus demonstrates the perfect response to being healed. He follows Jesus. But here, Jesus did more than just give sight to Bartimaeus. He also gave sight to the whole crowd. As a blind beggar, Bartimaeus was unseen himself. He was invisible to society. Expendable. His condition makes people uncomfortable. And when he dares to speak out, they quickly try to silence him, to put him back in the fringes of society, and to maintain the status quo. I hate to tell you this, Jesus doesn't want to keep people comfortable. He knows that once people see Bartimaeus, they can't unsee him. Once his humanity is revealed, they must respond with compassion. What Bartimaeus needs here isn't as much physical sight as visibility and validation within the community. And Jesus makes that happen. So this is actually a double miracle healing. Jesus heals both Bartimaeus and the crowd's blindness. Thankfully, even though we can't see him, Jesus is still present and working in all of our lives. Jesus sees us. Jesus is still performing miracles. We simply need to ask, "Let me see." Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise and join us for the closing hymn, "Amazing Grace." Friends, before we leave this place, let me offer a blessing. Go out with your eyes opened to the presence of God and follow Jesus on the way. Drink in the richness of God and enjoy the strength of the Lord. And may God give you a long, full life. May Jesus Christ open your eyes to the wonder of life, and may the Holy Spirit fill you with the faith that makes you whole. Amen. Amen.